The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our strength, the struggle between good and evil rages within and around us, and the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 32 responsively. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord
imputes no guilt and in whose spirit there is no guile. While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust the Lord.
Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Second reading is a reading from Romans. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to the condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Let your steadfast love come to us, Lord. Save us as you promised, we will trust your word. Let your steadfast love come to us, Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, Lent has begun. For hundreds of years in the liturgy of the church, that we have been given this story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness on the first Sunday of Lent. And we also hear this story of Adam and Eve and their temptation in the Garden of Eden. It's Lent, and it's a time to think of temptation. Just days ago, we bowed our heads and received the cross of ashes on our foreheads. We enter into this season of reflection with a humble attitude and with a wish to draw closer to God in these 40 days. Some people add a Lenten discipline by giving up something during Lent. The act of giving up a favorite food, or maybe adding a spiritual discipline during these days, can help keep us focused on the meaning of Lent and on our journey with Jesus. This discipline helps us more and more day by day what it means to remember our baptism and to be faithful to God. Did you hear about the man who decided that Lent was a good time to lose a few pounds? So he decided that he would give up his daily donut and that specialty coffee. Now, this was definitely more about a diet than a spiritual discipline, but it was working for him. He even changed his usual route to the office so that he didn't have to pass by that bakery. Well, one morning he walks into the office and he's carrying a box of donuts. And his office mates started giving him a hard time, and he just smiled and shrugged and he said, "Well, you know, what could I do? What could I do? These are my favorite donuts. And out of habit, I just accidentally drove by that bakery. And they have my favorite donuts and my favorite coffee. And I just had a feeling that this wasn't an accident. So I prayed, God, if you really want me to have that donut, let me find a parking place right in front of the bakery." And sure enough, on the 9th trip around the block, so I didn't really give in to my temptation. I was just following God's lead. Well, it's no accident that Jesus ended up in the wilderness after his baptism. This is where he would be tempted. This is where he would overcome the temptations, the temptation, and he would remember who he really is, the beloved Son of God, the beloved Son of his Father. Those words were still ringing in his ears. He had just come from his baptism, where he had heard God say, "This is my Son." And now, 40 days later in the desert, fasting, he hears those words, he remembers those words. You know, throughout all of Scripture, the wilderness is a place of preparation, a place of waiting for God's next move, a place of learning to trust in God's mercy. For 40 days and nights, Jesus remained in the wilderness without food, getting ready for what comes next. 40 is the number of days that Noah and his family endured the flood. And then God put a rainbow in the sky to remind God of his promise never to destroy the whole earth by a flood. I'm praying these days for the people in Japan, and I know that you are as well. I'm praying that the aid and the concern of many people throughout the world will be like a rainbow of hope for those people as they face the devastation and the loss in that earthquake and the tsunami, and as they live with fear every day with those nuclear power plants. Keep them in your prayers and in your thoughts these days and in the days to come. 40 is the number of days and nights that Moses fasted on Mount Sinai. as the words of God's covenant were inscribed in the tablets of stone. 40 is the number of years that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness in preparation for their arrival at the promised land. God was forming them into his people, into a community. They were learning what it means to be the people of God. 40 is the days in the season of Lent that we participate in Jesus' ministry and follow his way toward the cross. We too are tempted. And it's not about donuts that we vowed to give up. But we are tempted not to fulfill our baptism. We are tempted to forget who we are and whose we are. We're tempted to think that we are in control and that we can do it, rather than that we are in God's hands. The devil comes to Jesus in the wilderness and tries to entice him to forget who he is, to forget where to place his trust, to forget about being faithful to God. Jesus has gone 40 days without food when the devil comes to him. The gospel writer says, and he was famished. Really? I can hardly go 40 minutes without thinking about food. So Jesus is really starving when the devil appears and says, if you're hungry, understatement, turn this rock into bread. Should be simple for you, Son of God. But it's not about hunger. It's about whether Jesus is going to trust God or co-opt God's power for his own purposes. Jesus resists the temptation to be selfish, to use his power for his own good. And still weak and still hungry, but still trusting God. Next, the devil says, hey, if you really want to impress people, jump off this building and let the angels float you to the ground, if that's who you think you are, Son of God. Jesus is tempted to put on a show, to make people believe that he's supernatural. And again, Jesus resists that temptation by trusting in God's real providence, that God really will take care of him, not trusting that God would want him to do tricks to impress people. And finally, the devil offers Jesus the whole world. You could have this world to rule and have the whole world worship you. This is a temptation for Jesus to take God's power and to take God's place in the world. Of course, the devil doesn't really have the ability to make this offer to Jesus, because the world and all that is in it belongs to God. And Jesus knows that, and he trusts that. And he tells the devil to get lost. We are called to worship God and only God, and certainly not you, Satan. Now, go away. What happens in the wilderness doesn't stay in the wilderness. This isn't Las Vegas. It plays again and again in the ministry of God's beloved Son. On different occasions, Jesus again shows us that it's all about trusting God. Jesus refuses in the wilderness to turn stones into bread to satisfy his own hunger, but before long, he will feed thousands with two loaves and a few fish. And he will teach his disciples to pray, asking God for daily bread. Jesus refuses to take advantage of his relationship with God by hurling himself from the heights of the temple, But at the end of his earthly ministry, he endures the taunts of others while trusting in God's power as he's lifted up on the cross. Jesus refuses the devil's offer of political leadership over all the kingdoms of the world, and instead, he offers the kingdom of God to all who would follow him in the way of righteousness. The promise of this good news is that the one who is with you always, even to the end of the age, has already gone ahead of us, even to those most forsaken places in the wilderness. He meets us in the most difficult tests in our lives. No place is so desolate, so distant, or so challenging that Jesus has not already been there. No test, no temptation is so great that Jesus hasn't already overcome it. For us, the beloved children of God, the temptation is to forget who we are. The temptation to forget our baptism, forget where we place our trust. 40 days of Lent to focus on remembering our baptism, remembering who and whose we are as the people of God called to be the body of Christ in the world today. 40 days of remembering that Jesus has gone before us. Indeed, Jesus is with us in all of our temptations, in all of our cares, in all of our places of wilderness and worry. Jesus is with us. We are baptized, beloved children of God, held in God's holy hands. Have a happy Lent. Amen.